History, 7th grade, Medieval Europe, March 23rd through the 27th. Friday, March 27th. History Unit, The Rise of the Frankish Kingdom. Lesson 3, The End of Merovingians, Beginning of Carolingians, with Pepin the Short. Lesson 3, Socratic Question. Keep these questions in mind as you study this lesson. What makes for a legitimate monarchy? What is the relationship between a ruler and the people? Objective. Be able to do this by the end of this lesson. Number 1. Explain why and how the Merovingian line of kings came to an end and was replaced by the Carolingian line of kings, beginning with Pepin the Short. Introduction. Yesterday we learned about Charles Martel, the Hammer, who defended the Franks from Islamic invasions and preserved Christian Europe from Muslim domination. Today we turn to his son, Pepin the Short, circa 714 to 768 AD, who officially established the Carolingian dynasty and expanded Frankish power by suppressing revolts, driving the Muslim invaders out of a stronghold in Septimania, modern-day southern France, and strengthened the relations with the Pope and the Byzantine Empire, the same relations begun by Clovis's conversion to Christianity. Reading check. How did Pepin expand Frankish power? Directions. Read both the introduction and the primary source, then answer the questions below. Taken from section 14. Pepin the Short takes the title of king, 751. Introduction. Frederick Ogg, Sourcebook of Medieval History. During the 7th and 8th centuries, the Merovingian line of Frankish kings degenerated to a condition of weakness, both pitiable and ridiculous. As the royal family became less worthy, the powers of government gradually slipped from its hands into those of a series of ministers commonly known by the title of Mayor of the Palace, Mayor Domus. The most illustrious of these uncrowned sovereigns was Charles Martel, the victor over the Saracens near Poitiers, in whose time the Frankish throne for 4 years had no occupant at all. Martel contrived to make his peculiar office hereditary, and at his death in 741 left it to be filled jointly by his two elder sons, Carloman and Pepin the Short, 714 to 768. They decided that it would be to their interest to keep up the show of Merovingian royalty a little longer, and in 743 allowed Childeric III to mount the throne, a weakling destined to be the last of his family to wear the Frankish crown. 4 years later, Carloman renounced his office and withdrew to the monastery of Monte Cassino, begun by Benedict, southeast of Rome, leaving Pepin sole, quote, mayor, and the only real ruler of the Franks. Before many more years had passed, the utter uselessness of keeping up a royal line whose members were notoriously unfit to govern had impressed itself upon the nation to such an extent that when Pepin proceeded to put young Childeric in a monastery and take the title of king for himself, nobody offered the slightest objection. The sanction, or approval, of the Pope was obtained for the act because Pepin thought his course would thus be made to appear less like an outright usurpation. The Pope's reward came 4 years later when Pepin bestowed upon him the lands in northern and central Italy, which eventually constituted in the main the Papal States. In later times, after the reign of Pepin's famous son, Charlemagne, the new dynasty established by Pepin's elevation to the throne came to be known as the Carolingian, from Carolus, or Charles. Page 24. The following account of the change from the Merovingian to the Carolingian line is taken from the so-called Lesser Annals of Lorsch. At the monastery of Lorsch, as at nearly every other such place in the Middle Ages, records or annals of one sort or another were pretty regularly kept. The monastery of Lorsch was about 12 miles distant from Heidelberg in southern Germany. In the year 750 of the Lord's Incarnation, Pepin sent ambassadors to Rome to Pope Zacharias to inquire concerning the kings of the Franks, who, though they were of the royal line and were called kings, had no power in the kingdom, except that charters and privileges were drawn up in their names. They had absolutely no kingly authority, but did whatever the major domus of the Franks desired. But on the first day of March, in the Campus Martius, according to ancient custom, gifts were offered to these kings by the people, and the king himself sat in the royal seat with the army standing round him and the major domus in his presence. And he commanded on that day whatever was decreed by the Franks. But on all other days, thenceforward, he remained quietly at home. Pope Zacharias, therefore, in the exercise of his apostolic authority, replied to their inquiry that it seemed to him better and more expedient that the man who held power in the kingdom should be called king and be king, rather than he who falsely bore that name. Therefore, the aforesaid pope commanded the king and people of the Franks that Pepin, who was exercising royal power, should be called king, and should be established on the throne. This was therefore done by the anointing of the holy Archbishop Boniface in the city of Soissons. Pepin was proclaimed king, and Childeric, who was falsely called king, was shaved and sent into a monastery. Number 1. After a prolonged insufficient leadership of the Merovingian line of Frankish kings, some of the house administrators, mayors of the palace, maiores domus, assumed effective leadership in place of a king. Who was the most famous to do so? Number 2. What were the names of the two sons of Charles Martel, who ran the palace following his rule? Blank and blank. Number 3. One of the ways Pepin expanded Frankish power was by strengthening his relations with the Pope. What did Pepin receive from the Pope, and what did he give the Pope? Footnotes at the bottom of page 24. Number 8. The date is almost certainly wrong. Pepin was first acknowledged king by the Frankish nobles assembled at Soissons in November 751. It was probably in 751, possibly 752, that Pope Zacharias was consulted. In 754, Pepin was crowned king by Pope Stephen III, successor of Zacharias, who journeyed to France, especially for the purpose. Number 9. Zacharias was pope from 741 to 752. Number 10. Einhard, the secretary of Charlemagne, in writing a biography of his master, described the condition of Merovingian kinship as follows. Quote, "All the resources and power of the kingdom had passed into the control of the prefects of the palace, who were called the mayors of the palace, and who exercised the supreme authority. Nothing was left to the king. He had to content himself with his royal title, his flowing locks, and long beard. Seated in a chair of state, he was wont to display an appearance of power by receiving foreign ambassadors on their arrival, and on their departure giving them, as if on his own authority, those answers which he had been taught or commanded to give. Thus, except for his empty title and an uncertain allowance for his sustenance, which the prefect of the palace used to furnish at his pleasure, there was nothing that the king could call his own, unless it were the income from a single farm, and that a very small one, where he made his home, and where such servants as were needful to wait on him constituted his scanty household. When he went anywhere, he traveled in a wagon drawn by a yoke of oxen, with a rustic ox-herd for charioteer. In this manner he proceeded to the palace, and to the public assemblies of the people held every year for the dispatch of the business of the kingdom, and he returned home again in the same sort of state. The administration of the kingdom, in every matter which had to be undertaken and carried through, both at home and abroad, was managed by the mayor of the palace. Einhard, from the Vita Caroli Magni, Chapter 1. This concludes the lesson for Friday, March 27th, in medieval history.